Why are companies borrowing so much money all of a sudden?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as an online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll find out what's causing the frenzy that's going on this week in the corporate bond market. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow is down 12 points at 12,466. The Nasdaq actually up a fraction of a percent, and same with the S&P 500. The world's largest maker of farm equipment said this morning its profits jumped 65% last quarter. Analysts say Deere and Company is benefiting from high food prices, which are giving farmers extra cash to invest in equipment. Now let's get to the corporate borrowing bonanza that's going on. Big companies are loading up on debt this week because of extremely low interest rates. But interest rates have been low for a while. So why are companies borrowing so much now? David Kelly is chief market strategist at JP Morgan Funds, and he's with us live from New York. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So why this borrowing bonanza this week?
Well, I think there are two things. I think, first of all, corporations actually feel a little bit better than consumers right now because corporate profits have been soaring. And in fact, corporate profits are almost back to where they were before the last recession started. So I think that helps. But the other thing is that corporations worry that the Federal Reserve is going to eventually begin raising interest rates. At the end of June, they're going to stop buying treasury bonds in the way they have been buying them, and that could push interest rates higher. And so they just don't want to miss out on the opportunity. They'd be kicking themselves if rates were much higher later on, and they have to borrow at higher rates next year.
And we saw this morning that mortgage rates are also dropping, just like corporate borrowing rates. Why aren't people going out to buy homes in the same way?
It's such a great time to buy a house right now with prices down and mortgage rates, as you say, at extremely low levels. But one of the things that's really hurting the consumer side or the household side here is that people lost so much home equity. I mean, in order to move up in house, you have to put some money down, and now you have to put much more money down than a few years ago.
Right.
And the problem is a lot of people are underwater. They don't have more equity to put into buying more houses or more expensive houses, and that's really clogging up the whole housing market. I think that's one of the key reasons why housing is so subdued, even though corporate borrowing is moving up.
David Kelly, chief market strategist with JP Morgan Funds, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Well, to Las Vegas now, where the Global Travel and Tourism Summit is going on today. And a big concern at the summit is just how difficult it is for overseas tourists to get a visa to visit the United States. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The question is whether the U.S. should make it easier for foreign tourists to get visas to come here. Right now, the U.S. requires a face-to-face interview, and at the American Embassy in Beijing, there are only 24 windows for visa processing. Roger Dow of the U.S. Travel Association says that's crazy.
So that's the equivalent of having one cashier at Costco over the holidays. You'd never do that.
Dow wants the Obama administration to streamline the process, increase visa fees, and use the money to hire more embassy staff, and use video conferencing for visa interviews. Rossi Rollincutter heads the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority. He says the growing middle classes in China and Brazil have money.
Travel is one way of spending their discretionary dollars, and so we need to be ready for that as a country to accept those new potential visitors.
Roland Cotter says it'll also become harder for Vegas to attract big conventions if the visa process isn't smoothed out. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, celebrating the success of small businesses throughout Small Business Week. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Foodies and deli owners will gather tomorrow in San Francisco to discuss the future of the old-school Jewish-style deli. Rising food and labor costs are making it harder for traditional delis to stay afloat. Deb Monroe reports now on how some are trying to adapt.
It's almost lunchtime, and Saul's Deli in Berkeley is getting ready to serve its main attraction, the traditional pastrami sandwich.
The pastrami that we serve comes from a navel brisket.
Saul's co-owner, Peter Levitt, says this cut comes from a special section of beef now in huge demand to make processed meats like hot dogs, and that's doubled the price over the last 10 years. No surprise, a 12-ounce pastrami sandwich now costs $20, a turnoff for many customers.
There's no way to build a sandwich for $15 with 8, 9, or 10 ounces of meat in it and make a claim that you've used good meat.
5 years ago, Saul's Deli cut its standard pastrami sandwich to 6 ounces for $11.75. Customers who want more pastrami now face a sliding scale. Saul's has gone the way of the airlines, charging extra for more.
About 10% of our customers will add 1, 2, 3, or 4 ounces of meat to that.
But even with the smaller sandwich, Saul's is not recouping the cost of the meat.
People come in for the pastrami, but we absolutely need them to order a latke before, a potato dish. We need them to have soup with a dumpling in it.
Levitt says it's all the other stuff on the menu that makes it possible to stay in business.
Then they need to get a dessert, and they need to wash the whole thing down with a few beers. And then we're all happy.
While Saul's Deli has shrunk its sandwiches across the bay in San Francisco, Wison's Deli has shrunk its menu to about 8 items. Co-owner Leo Beckerman says this keeps inventory costs down.
We're trying to keep our menu small and very much built out of products that we make ourselves. So, for example, we cure and smoke our own meats, we bake our own bread.
Wison's charges $12 for a pastrami with a side and pickles. Retiree Judith Franklin didn't bat an eye.
For a good deli fix, I'm willing to pay.
Some customers, at least, are willing to accept quality over quantity, proving there may be a future for a leaner, meaner pastrami. In San Francisco, this is Deb Monroe for Marketplace.
And from pastrami to pickles, today is the 20th annual pickle-eating contest at the Carnegie Deli in New York. 10 contestants will try to chow down on as many pickles as they can in a 5-minute window. The record currently stands at 3.8 pounds of pickles consumed. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Corporate culture can involve a lot of suppressed frustration and forced politeness. But Xerox CEO Ursula Burns wants people to be themselves, even if they're cranky.
I think that the best way to get the best out of people is to not force them to be something other than they naturally are.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Another conversation from the corner office and the rest of the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.